We'd also like to welcome all the fathers today. It's Father's Day. Of course, it's a commercial enterprise. Was it really set up? Well, I don't know, but I mean, but of course, in Vedic culture, we are taught to honor the father and mother, particularly if our father and mother are engaged in Vedic culture, and they have conceived us and brought us into this world for the ultimate purpose of delivering us back to our eternal Father, Lord Sri Krishna, in the spiritual world. So if you are that type of father, and I'm sure all of you are, following in the glorious footsteps of Vaisheshika Prabhu and Krishna consciousness, if you're that type of father, welcome. Actually, there's seven mothers in Vedic culture, and there's five fathers. Seven mothers, there's Mother Cow, there's Mother Earth, there's one's own maternal mother, there's the nurse, she's also like mother, there's the wife of the Brahmana, the wife of the Guru, and the queen. These are the natural five mothers who are very benevolent to their those who are entrusted to them. And interestingly enough, there's seven fathers. There's the natural father, there's the eternal father, the spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada dedicates his immortal Krishna book, which he says will give solace to the devotees who one day feel separation from Krishna. That's how important that book is. He dedicates it to his father, Gaur Mohan Day, who imbibed in him a spirit of Krishna consciousness, which was later solidified by his eternal father, Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhachakacharya Oshtutara Satashri Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So there's maternal father, there's the eternal father, there's the father-in-law. It's also considered one of the five fathers, the father-in-law. There's the one who gives food. If someone maintains you, gives you food, he's also considered like father. And there's one who gives protection. He's also considered like father. Of course, who can give protection in this world of birth and death? Bhagavatam describes that as dear as our relatives may be, they're sometimes referred to as fallible soldiers, with all due respect, because they cannot protect us ultimately from the onslaughts of the material energy, like birth, disease, old age, and death. So what does it mean to give protection? How does the father protect his family? He gives the real protection by enlightening us in Krishna consciousness. He protects us from illusion, which is the greatest danger. The greatest danger, the greatest illusion, is to forget the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So a good father is one who chants 16 rounds a day, follows the regulative principles, gets up early with his family members, performs the Mangal Arti, worships the Tulsi plant, Vrinda Devi, chants japa with his family members, and speaks on the science of Krishna consciousness. No one should become a demigod, a spiritual master, a king, a teacher, a father, a mother for that, in that regard, unless one can deliver one's dependence from the repetition of birth and death, unless one can lead his dependence from darkness to light, from ignorance to truth, from the material world to Vaikuntha, to Goloka. That is the real guardian. And by engaging in those activities, we're protected from illusion. So all those who have received presents today from their children, cards, pens, shaving kits, whatever you, there's a responsibility that goes along with that, more than just bringing someone into this world. Your fathership is not complete until you deliver them from this world. That is your understanding. Not enough. So many living entities are bringing offspring into this world. That is not difficult. Sex life is not something you have to learn in school. It comes naturally to all species of life. That is nothing glorious. But what is glorious is if you can deliver your children back home, back to Godhead. And if you're not so strong to do that, at least do your best. And then Putra will deliver you. Putra means a son. In this age, it may also mean a daughter, because Prabhupada has kindly accepted into his fold International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the ladies as well. So they're doing as much service as the boys. That could also mean a Krishna conscious daughter, a Vaishnavi. If you can't make it, it's a good investment to teach your children the science of Krishna consciousness, because Putra means the son or the daughter, the children who deliver the father from hell. Even if you're nonsense, but you encourage your children, go to the temple, go to the temple, chant Hare Krishna, take the sadhana, and they become perfected. Then what does Lord Nrsingadev tell Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam? Because you're a pure devotee, Prahlad, because you attain perfection in Krishna consciousness, despite the fact that your father was the greatest of all the asuras, because you attain perfection as the son, 10 generations before Vaikuntha, and whoever comes in the future, 10,000 generations, they all achieve moksha, liberation, which ultimate moksha is devotional service to the Lord. So, fatherhood is a great responsibility, making sure that, as far as possible, that our children can go back to the spiritual world. It's made easier by the fact that in families where Krishna consciousness is performed, devotees naturally take birth. When one dies, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajatiyanta kalevaram. Whatever mentality, whatever desires, whatever consciousness one has at the moment of death, that determines one's next birth. Or to put it in modern vernacular, you go to where your heart takes you when you die. So if you're not complete in the science of Krishna consciousness, and to reach perfection is not so easy. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabaha. Krishna says, after many, many births, one who is in full knowledge of me, she's perfection. So it may be that one may be very advanced but not perfect. So what happens to such a devotee? Arjuna asks that question. What happens to the yogi who does not achieve perfection? Is he cast hither and thither like a cloud by the wind? Just no destiny. Krishna says no. Nothing happens by chance in this world. It is all destiny. And certainly nothing happens by chance in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna is in control. Yogik Shemam Bahamya. He protects whatever his devotee has, and he provides whatever that devotee needs. So what happens to the unsuccessful devotee who's almost there? Then he'll take birth in a family of wealthy merchants. Why? Because in such a situation he doesn't have to struggle for the necessities of life, and he can continue where he left off in his progress in Krishna consciousness. That's guaranteed. Whatever progress you make, then your next life, the next percentage you start. Like you left at 43, then 44 you start. But Krishna says, a devotee, sincere devotee, he takes birth in a family of transcendentalists. And Krishna says, verily, such a birth is rare. And who are the topmost transcendentalists? The Vaishnavas. Why are they the topmost transcendentalists? Because they have the topmost goal. Nothing short of going back to Vaikuntha, not only Vaikuntha, but the topmost planet in the spiritual world, Goloka, the Lord makes himself available to very intimate, loving exchanges with his devotees, as cowherd boy, in Vrindavan. You can be his friend, you can be his parent, you can be his lover. So Vaishnavas are considered the topmost transcendentalists. A Vaishnava realizes all three aspects of the Absolute Truth. The Paramatma, the Brahman, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. By becoming Krishna conscious, you understand everything about the Absolute Truth. So topmost transcendentalist. So one is not successful in Krishna consciousness to the point of going back to Godhead. He'll take birth in a family of transcendentalists, devotees of the Lord. That's you. You may humbly say, I'm not such a good devotee, but you're a devotee. And you are special amongst humanity. Even if you're not perfect, you are on the path of pure devotion. You may not be perfected, but you're on the path of pure devotion. That is something actually remarkable. And millions of men, mankind, Krishna says. Perhaps one is interested in the science of self-realization. Manushyanam sahasri su kaschidyatate shudaye. And out of those who have shown a little interest in self-realization, understanding I'm not the body, I'm something higher, I'm spirit soul, Krishna says, perhaps one has understood me in truth. One accepts me, Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're a very special soul. And if you're sincere and you adhere to the process, it's only a question of time before you achieve perfection. So Lord places his dear ones who have not achieved perfection in your family. They take birth there. They may be even more advanced than you. So, take care. One time Prabhupada came to Detroit, Michigan, for a visit. And it was the first time that I saw Srila Prabhupada. And he came in the hallway, and one of the mothers had a young, wasn't a baby, but what's just after babyhood? A young, very young child. A year and a half. Yeah, eight. More than an infant. 18 months.
Toddler.
So, this little boy, Vaishnava Das, was playing kartals. At that age, you know, you don't play kartals. But he was playing, and Prabhupada saw him. And Prabhupada stopped. And he went, oh. And he patted him on the head. And the mother, Krishna Bhamani, she practically fainted in ecstasy. Confirmation that she had a ray of Vishnu. So then Prabhupada took darshan of the deities and he sat down. And then he sang Jai Radha Madhava. And then he looked at Vaishnava sitting with his mother. And he said, you see, he can only play kartals like that because he was devotee in his previous life. And then I think Krishna Bhamani actually fainted. And Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada mercifully translated for us in the form of Nectar of Devotion, that one cannot actually take to devotional service in all sincerity and with great determination to achieve success unless one has performed devotional service in a previous life. That's not to say that one who has never performed devotional service cannot become Krishna conscious. Because Mahaprabhu's movement is for, it's like a transcendental tsunami. It's meant to sweep everyone up off their feet and engage them in devotional service. One time Prabhupada was talking about the qualifications for taking to Krishna consciousness, and he said at least in this lifetime one had to have performed many pious activities. Generally, only those who are pious take to Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada said India is the most pious country in the world, at least it used to be. Still is. Because there, Krishna consciousness is so prominent, even now, flourishing. But Prabhupada said you have to perform so many pious activities to take up Krishna consciousness. And one disciple raised his hand and said, "But Prabhupada, I never did one pious thing in my life. I was like the embodiment of sinful activity. I'm so embarrassed to say it," but Prabhupada stopped him. He said, "Yes, I created your pious activity." Last week you had my illustrious godbrother Giriraj Swami here. And he probably was very humble. He didn't tell you, but he first came in contact with Srila Prabhupada at a university program. He was in law school. His father was a judge. And so he followed in the footsteps of his father and was going to become a lawyer. And it was the 1960s, so many young people were interested, besides their studies and career, in some spiritual alternative to life, miseries of life. So he was, in the midst of his studies, he was looking for a guru. So he heard, he went to many different institutions and programs and so forth and heard from different yogis and swamis, but something didn't sit right in his heart when he heard from them. It didn't. So then he heard that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was coming to the campus, and he'd never heard of Prabhupada, but another Swami, why not? I'll try. So he went, and he was very impressed in the beginning, just by the demeanor of Prabhupada. Prabhupada did many great things while he was present here, but because he was a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord, and every fiber of his existence was dedicated to the Lord in pure love, even the small things he did were remarkable. Not just the great things, but every, Prabhupada said, attention to detail is a sign of love. So every little detail that Prabhupada did was an offering to the Lord. So if you watch Prabhupada drink water, or play his kartals, or just how he passed his hand on his head, it was all so unique and different, a resonant of the spiritual world. So immediately when Giriraj Swami saw Prabhupada, he had a natural trust or confidence in him. And then when he spoke on the authority of the Vedas, with so many shlokas to back it up, he was convinced. So Prabhupada asked for questions, and Giriraj Swami raised his hand and asked a question. I don't think he even remembers to this day what the question was. But he asked a question. And Prabhupada answered the question. And then Maharaj, of course he wasn't Maharaj then, he was something else. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Your mercy is all that I am made of." He was something else, but a candidate, nonetheless. And he went back to his old ways and kind of forgot. But time went on and he met the devotees again. He bought a magazine, a Back to Godhead magazine, and remembered Swamiji's lecture. And then he went to the temple, the Boston temple. He met devotees. He took prasad and that was it. Lord Chaitanya's secret weapon. Took that prasad. And then he went to the temple, stayed overnight in the temple, and then he joined. And some months later, Prabhupada came to the temple. And Prabhupada gave class, and then afterwards, the new devotees were introduced to Prabhupada in his room. And Prabhupada, when Giriraj, Greg, was introduced to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, "Yes, I remember you." Giriraj Swami said, "You remember me?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes. I prayed to Krishna to make you a devotee."
Haribol!
Did you know that story? He said, Prabhupada said, "I prayed to Krishna to make you a devotee." This is called Guru Kripa. There's Krishna Kripa and there's Guru Kripa. We are struggling to make small increments of progress on the spiritual path, but sometimes we receive special mercy from Krishna or from Guru. We shouldn't wait around for it. You don't wait around for a university degree. You pursue your studies as best you can. But sometimes people are given a university degree, they never even went to the university. Later they become prominent figures in society. So like that, sometimes the mercy will come. We should always be hopeful, but proceed with faith on the general path of sadhana bhakti to achieve perfection. So like this, Prabhupada said, "I prayed to Krishna for you to become a devotee." And Prabhupada said that to other devotee, "I created your pious activities," which means that by Prabhupada's mercy, that boy became engaged in Krishna consciousness. But generally, Rupa Goswami says one has to have performed devotional service in a previous life to take up Krishna consciousness. So that may or not be you or me, but certainly if a child takes birth in your family, that is due to their previous devotional service. And your responsibility as father is to ensure that they become Krishna conscious. And the first step in ensuring that they become Krishna conscious is that you become Krishna conscious. The medical oath is just saying, physician, heal thyself. Not that, my kids are interested, I'm someone, let them go, let my wife go. Because generally I see in the Indian community, it's all the ladies sitting up front and the men are sitting on the benches in the back snoring. Not here, because Vaisheshika Prabhu won't let that happen. He'll chant so loud in your ear, you're forced to become Krishna conscious. But often it's like that. The gentleman in pants and shirt, ladies in saris, ladies doing kirtan, men in the back talking business and money. But no. It can't be like that. The father should be at the forefront, at least for the wife. He's pati guru. We need guru to advance. Tadbiri paripa tena paripashana sevaya upadekshanti teganam ganinashtat vidarshanaha. Krishna says that we should all... He said every lady and gentleman in Vedic culture would have a guru. It wasn't a fashion. It was tradition. Every lady and gentleman would have a guru. And Prabhupada said generally the children would take initiation by 12 or 14. Vedic culture. Times have changed a lot. But the father, the real father, he was the head of the family, not just the breadwinner, but in devotional service. And that was imbibed by the children. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that devotional service is something that's imbibed from other devotees by association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Shastukoya, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Siddhihoya. That we should seek out the association of devotees of the Lord, because even a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord can begin us on the path of perfection. Association and chanting are the two most important principles in devotional service. samsara sarpa dushtanam murchitanam kalo yuge asadham bhagavan nama srimad vaishnava shevanam. This is a very beautiful verse by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the chief pundit in the temple of Jagannath in Jagannath Puri during the time of Lord Chaitanya. And when Mahaprabhu came to see his worshipable deity, Jagannath, Vrindavan Krishna, he swooned and fainted in ecstasy upon seeing Jagannath. And he fell unconscious on the ground. He was so much deep in samadhi because Mahaprabhu had come to experience what is Radha's love for Krishna. He's Krishna, but Krishna could not understand, because he's the object of the love, what was the love that Radharani had for him, his eternal consort. So he came to this world for two reasons: to inaugurate the chanting of Hare Krishna as the Yuga Dharma, as well as to try to understand Radha's Mahabhav, her love for him. So he took the form of a devotee in the countenance of Radha. So when he saw Krishna experiencing that love for Krishna, he swooned and fell unconscious on the ground. Mahabhav. Only a few people can experience that Mahabhav. Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya, and Radharani. We can just worship it from a distance. It is so sacred. And try to serve that divine love. So he was unconscious to the degree that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had to take a cotton swab, piece of cotton, and put it next to his nostrils. And when it came next, some pran came, some life air came, and the cotton made a little, he's alive. He's alive. This sannyasi, he's so young. How can he be experiencing these emotions of ecstatic transcendence? He looks about 24. So he picked him up and took him to his home. You can visit that home today. It's still existing in Jagannath Puri. And there he told Lord Chaitanya, who feigned ignorance, said, "You're a very young sannyasi." He said, it's going to be difficult because you're so handsome. And I can initiate you into a higher order of sannyas. And more important, I will teach you Vedanta. Because by knowledge one has strength to resist the temptations. Knowledge is real strength, not muscle strength. Not pumping iron in the gym. Real strength is staying home and reading the Bhagavad Gita. Maybe going for a short walk, but not more than that. They say 20, 45 minutes is enough. Knowledge is real strength because you can resist the temptations of illusion, the maya. So I will instruct you in Vedanta. He went on for 7 days. And it didn't appear that Mahaprabhu was paying such close attention. Sarvabhauma said, "Why aren't you listening?" "I'm listening, but that's not very interesting, because this is not the proper explanation of Vedanta. The student says that to the teacher." So the teacher, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very learned, he was highly respected. "So you think you know something better?" "Yes." "So?" Then he spoke the proper commentary on Vedanta, Krishna consciousness, with the conclusion, "Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarma." Krishna is the Supreme Personality, the Absolute Truth. He spoke in such a way that he's God. It didn't take him very long. He can speak. Maharaj quoted today one verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Elegance is truth spoken concisely. So Krishna has given the whole absolute truth in 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. It takes you 45 minutes to read. Whole truth. Nothing but the truth, so help me God. That is Bhagavad Gita. So here's the speaker of Gita speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Didn't take him very long to convince him. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realized that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of God in himself, because by his mercy, Mahaprabhu revealed that to him, 100 shlokas came from his mouth like the wind. Beautiful shlokas. He didn't have to sit down and think, okay, flowed from his mouth like the Ganges. Nothing can stop the auspicious flow of the Ganges. You've been to Haridwar. And this is one verse. Samsara sarpa dushtanam murchitanam kulo yuge asadham bhagavan nama srimad vaishnava shevanam. That those who have been bitten by the serpent of the repetition of birth and death in the age of Kali should get relief by the herbal remedy asadham bhagavan nama, chanting the names of Bhagavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Srimad Vaishnava Shevanam. Service to the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Or you can, it's also translated, chanting those names in the association of Vaishnavas. Some things are very powerful on their own, but when they're mixed with something else, they become even more powerful. Like salt. You cook one preparation. Today we had nice prasad, but one preparation was missing salt. So I asked for salt, and my servant brought me salt. He was ready to put it all over everything. He's only 5 years old. I said, no, stop. Only this. The preparation was nice, not to say it wasn't nice. It was very nice prasad. But when the salt was added, everything became nice. So chanting Hare Krishna is nice. It's one of the five primary activities of a devotee. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, visiting or living in the holy places, and associating with devotees. Five. All these activities are nice, but when you add the devotee to them, they become especially nice. Bhagavatam, we want to hear the Bhagavatam from the devotee. We receive the mantra from our guru, who's a Vaishnava, and then we're blessed to chant Hare Krishna. That's the value of initiation. When we go to the holy places, we don't go as a tourist, we go to hear from the saintly persons who are living there. And the glory of the deity is revealed when we're trained to worship the deity by our spiritual master. So really this ingredient of Vaishnava association is like the salt that brings out the taste in every activity. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended the chanting of Hare Krishna. But there were people chanting Hare Krishna before Lord Chaitanya came. Since Krishna's appearance in this world, there were sadhus living in Vrindavan. Granted, it wasn't developed, but they understood. A few special souls knew about the glory of Braj, so they were living there, very renounced way, chanting Hare Krishna, but they didn't venture out, certainly not to associate with non-devotees and get them to chant Hare Krishna. No. But Lord Chaitanya broke open the storehouse of love of God, because when he descended, he said, chant Hare Krishna in the association of others, very loudly. Congregational chanting, this is what he introduced, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when you do your japa, you struggle with your mind. Come on, let's be honest.
Yes.
But do you struggle in kirtan?
No.
Oh, my mind. No. In kirtan, they have a saying, it's mundane, but many fingers make small work. That strength is in numbers. When we come together and we're all chanting, the holy name is so loud. Our acharyas recommend to chant Hare Krishna loudly. So loud. And it's so powerful, it overcomes all our weaknesses. And we also chant and dance in ecstasy like others. Therefore, in his Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami describes that this congregational chanting is so important that sometimes even a neophyte devotee can experience ecstatic symptoms in a kirtan, a newcomer. Like Krishna told Narada, he appeared to him in the forest just briefly, then he disappeared. I've appeared before you, Krishna said to Narada, who was a 5-year-old boy, who was performing meditation. to see Krishna, just to give you an impetus to achieve me. But I can hardly remain before those who are incomplete in devotional service. So the Lord may appear to a neophyte, just briefly, something, there may be something in your life, a special class you heard, a special kirtan you attended. I always remember the kirtan that was being chanted when the Panchatapa was installed, the big, beautiful deities in Mayapur. When I think of that kirtan, my hair still stands on end. It was such an amazing kirtan. And I remember one kirtan in particular I attended, Vishnu John Swami was leading in New York City. We were taking Radha Damodar through the streets in New York City on a palanquin. This is going way back. And he led this kirtan to just, even the businessmen would drop in their briefcases. So this is, it sometimes happens like this. In special mercy. So the chanting is meant to do in a congregation. So what is a family? It's a small congregation. It's a small congregation. And if the father insists on these activities, because, you know, it's a little bit against the grain of a conditioned soul to engage in the activities of pure devotional service, and it's not so comfortable in the beginning, or like a person who has jaundice, when he eats sugar cane, it's a bitter taste, actually, because the liver is diseased. I had jaundice so bad that I look like a banana. Your skin turns yellow. I was sick for 5 months. And I had a servant, Sri Prahlad, at that time, and he came in smiling one day. So now we will see if that statement in Shastra is... We will prove it true, he said. And in South Africa, they have a lot of sugar cane, so he made sugar cane. I didn't drink it. I spit it out. So horrible. But it was sweet, as you know, sugar cane juice. The kids in South Africa, they just break off from that. They don't need to go to the store to buy Hershey's chocolate and, you know, M&M's and things, you know. They chew on that. In India also. I couldn't stand it. In fact, when he bought it again, I vomited because it was just a think of... But then at the fourth and fifth month came, I tasted some sweetness. And then Prahlad, I remember, he stood up one day. You know, I said, "That's so nice. Gurudev's cured of hepatitis!" And that day I walked down, it was Ratha Yatra. I was skinny as a rail. I walked down and part of the parade, I got over it immediately. So then, you know, the sugar tasted sweet. That's the analogy Prabhupada said. When you're in the disease condition, the sweetness of the holy name, Madhur, 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 Bhaji, it's so sweet for the liberated soul, it is the sweetness personified. The conditioned soul is like a bitter pill. But we say in Ayurveda, bitter is best. Medicine, Keshavadi Maharaj, he's been through a couple of treatments this year, Ayurvedic medicine. I can probably guarantee you that most of the medicine he took was very bitter. It wasn't good tasting. So they say in Ayurveda, bitter is best. Neem. If you take neem, then it's a good way to... The mosquitoes won't bite you. Mosquitoes like Western devotees who eat lots of sugar. Our blood is sweet. So, it may be against the grain, but Father, he has his duty. This is his duty. He's Pati Guru. He's the guru of the family. He's his guru in his own right. He must instill these principles in the family. First thing he must do when you first come to Krishna consciousness and you have some attraction, adoshradha tata sadhu sangha tabhajanakriya anartanavriti sya. This is a gradual path. You don't become attracted to Krishna consciousness necessarily because of the deep philosophical truths that are being revealed to you. Maybe you're a philosopher or a professor, but most of us, it's colorful, it's beautiful, it's joyful. I like the talk. The food's great. Because of that, you take up the association of devotees, we get to principles, initiation, nam, bhajan, seva, then eventually all the unwanted things come from the heart, you get some steadiness, some taste, some bhav, some prema. So you don't come necessarily, you come because there's something interesting here. So you may not, but you must begin by making your home into a temple. Bhaktivinoda Thakur woke up one morning, he said, I've seen my house has been transformed into Vaikuntha. One of our acharyas, he's a householder. Today I've seen my house has been transformed into Vaikuntha. So very first thing you have to do is throw out the one-eyed Kali Yuga guru TV. In Vedic culture they say that it's not auspicious to look at a one-eyed person. If someone only has one eye, to look at him is not considered auspicious. He looks at you. So what is the television? Are there two eyes there? There's one eye. Chanaka Pandit says, the eyes are the light of the soul. You look into a devotee's eyes, you see the light of his soul. Prabhupada's eyes were always very bright and filled, brimmed with tears of love of God. Sometimes they'd spill over. So, what is the television? Are you turning it on and hearing Krishna Katha like this? You're hearing the holy name? Are you seeing the beautiful image of Panchatattva? With your beautiful deities here? No. What you're seeing is that you're looking into the heart of a conditioned soul. You look into the heart of a devotee, what do you see? You look into the heart of Hanuman, what do you see? Hanuman has broke open his chest, and what do you see? Sitaram. You break open the heart of Jesus Christ, what do you see? The heart that is throbbing for love of the Lord. This is the devotee. But what is in the heart of a conditioned soul? Lust, anger, greed, anarthas, all unwanted things. And they like to express that, like we like to express our love. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. What do the karmis? They like to express what they think is important in life. Sex, money, politics, violence. That's in vogue. I was flying on the plane and next in business class, and the man had his TV on, and there was the movie. I was shocked. I thought he had put some pornography on, his own cassette. But it was what the airplane was showing. It becomes so degraded nowadays, what they're showing on television. I was shocked. So this is what is in the heart of a conditioned soul, these things. And nowadays, it's all... Everybody can do whatever they practically... I mean, there's hardly any control on it. So when you turn on the TV, it's just like going deep into the heart of a conditioned soul. Well, you want to do it. Narottam says, I have stayed in this world that I have willingly tasted poison, drank poison. Well, I wasted my life in willingly drinking poison. Poison brings death. These type of activities bring spiritual death. Spiritual death. So, you can't say, well, I'll just watch the little news so I'll keep informed of what's happening in this world. History repeats itself. You go through history books, it's the same thing happening now, then, now. It's just a different color, different shape, different clothes, different vocabulary. History repeats itself. Old wine in a new bottle. That's not a good argument. Because you watch the news and then you stay and then the advertisement comes, I want one of those. Then the soap opera comes and you cry like baby. Then the violence comes. And your kid wants a toy gun, and you know, it's ad infinitum. Sukadeva Goswami says, that people in mundane society, they have so many subject matters for hearing about. Oh, Emperor, he's speaking to Maharaj Pariksha. So, best thing is to throw out, of course, nowadays they're not television sets, they're big screens like this painting. So, throw out the big screen and put up the painting. It's not easy. But as Maharaj was saying, no pain, no gain. Spiritual life means that you have to sometimes accept something which may not be to your liking in order to advance. And conversely, sometimes you have to give up something that you may not want to give up for the sake of spirit. But you'll never be the loser. You'll never be the loser. Because Krishna always fills in the gaps with wonderful, pure devotional service in a society of devotees. and you always have the name Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
So fathers, you got your gifts. Now you got to get down to business. You can't. You have to reciprocate with the love of your family members. They love you because it is no small thing to raise a family. I quoted this morning that it is stated somewhere. It's a little risky to say that, but there's a traditional saying that if you can satisfy one wife in Kali Yuga, you get the term Mahatma. You become Mahatma Naidu, Mahatma Agarwal. You can just satisfy your wife in Kali Yuga. It's not easy to go out in this modern society to work very hard. We understand that. It's not easy to maintain, but you are meant to be the spiritual guide of the family as well. So where there's a will, there's a way. It all begins by rising early in the morning. That's not easy, because Krishna said to Arjuna, he glorified him, Gudakesha, you're the conqueror of sleep. It's interesting, Krishna has a number of names in Bhagavad Gita. He has unlimited names, but there's a certain amount of names, and one of the names he has in Gita is, or he gives to Arjuna, is Gudakesha. Arjuna has some names, Krishna has names. You've conquered sleep. He glorified, you have conquered sleep. And the Goswamis are glorified as conquered over eating and sleeping. Because unless you conquer over these things, you don't have time to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they're very potent, these days. You don't have to have 5-hour protein like in a temple. You can have shorter, but it's so potent. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Shastakoi, Lavamapta Sa. So be the sadhu of your family. And your family members, and the relationships will go very deep. The loving relationships will go very deep on the spiritual platform. There'll never be divorce. There'll be some arguments, because that is married life. I was married 11 years. There were some arguments, but not to be taken so seriously. Chanaka Panda says that a clap of thunder, two rams fighting in the forest, clashing their horns, and a fight between husband and wife. He said, both all begin in grand style, but the outcome is insignificant. So not to be taken so seriously, but as you make progress in Krishna consciousness as a family, as the father leads the family in Krishna consciousness, the relationships become very deep. Just like today, I met two godbrothers, and it was so satisfying to the heart, because we've served for almost 40 years, at least 40 years together in Prabhupada's mission, not all the time in each other's association, but there have been times when we have served together. And whenever we come together, we talk about service. We talk about Prabhupada. We talk about the future. We talk about the problems. But the fraternity, the bond is very, very deep. Yeah, we're all from California. I was born 3 miles from here, in Palo Alto. So like nothing can break this relationship. And all three of our mothers went back to Godhead. That's another story. But like that, so if our family relationships, if our friendships, if our relationships as servitors of our spiritual master are all on the spiritual platform, the relationship, the connection is very, very deep. Nothing can shake that. Very deep. So if you just arrange a small program, then the effect will be there. Just a little bit of Narada Muni. He was born in a family of... his mother was a Sudra, Sudrani. She was a Sudra. She was a washerwoman. But the sadhus used to come to that particular part of the village to take their... in the rainy season, because it was raining, they couldn't travel, you know, monsoon. So they sannyasis would stay in one place during the four months. And she got the opportunity to cook for them. So her little son, who had fallen from the heavenly planets because he went on Harinam and chanted some cinema songs, Prabhupada said, it's a pastime, came to the earth, took birth in the womb of a Sudra woman, had no inclination towards spiritual activities, but he was hungry, and Mama had cooked some gulab jamun. Gulab jamun. So the little boy, the yati, pulling on the top piece of the sannyasi, Baba, 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 sweet. So he gives to the boy. And this is described in detail in the Bhagavatam. Narada says, immediately upon tasting that prasadam, the nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. It's how powerful is devotional service. You don't need a six-hour program, but you need some type of organized program in your home to be father, to get the gifts on Father's Day. Little devotional service. I was remembering on the way here how a little devotional service performed by someone saved me. In France, in the old days, not the 1700s, but 30 years ago, I was a householder living in the temple, and my service, for 11 years, my service was book distribution. Just every day, book distribution. I was very happy. In fact, if you sent me back to France now, I still have my book bag in someone's house, my shoes are still there, everything's there. I said, if anything ever happens, I'm going to come back and do books. You never know, because I was a good book distributor, so they made me a temple president. I wasn't a very good temple president, they kicked me out and made me a sannyasi. And then I became a guru and I'm locked in, I can't go back and take my books. But there was this, I used to go out in Dodi. I never wore pants, I never wore a shirt in the entire 11 years. We would go out, in those days there was some animosity towards Krishna consciousness, not so much like today. But it was fun to win. Given the book, you know, you just conquer them, and they take the book anyway. So there was this huge building, like 14 or 15 floors, and there were many different companies on throughout the building on different floors, like 15 different companies. And there was, you know, all the secretaries were sitting there. There were no cubicles. It was just like row after row of sound. And so that was my favorite place for doing Sangatan. And the way I would get in is I'd go down into the garage. When the garage would open, I'd be around, and the car would come in. I'd just go in, and down in the car, the garage would close and lock. So I'd get in, and then I'd go up the elevator to the top floor. I'd start distributing books. You know, and they were just like, you see, what is this? And white robes, big tilak, and I'd always wear Radharani's garland every morning from the previous days. I had this big garland, huge tilak, and I'd shave my head shiny every day, like six or seven times like this, and I'd shine, polish it a little bit, you know? And I was young, I had long sika way down the back, and I'd come in with, and I'd had incense burning. And all the French ladies, ooh la la. So the incense was different colors. So I would burn the incense, and I would go there, these long lines like that. So I just, to get people interested, I would go along the lines, and I'd give a stick of incense. And we had spiritual sky incense made by His Grace Hari Vilas. Yellow, green, blue, orange, purple. So because it was a huge area of people, I would sometimes forget what row. I would take the incense, I'd put it under their nose like this. You like? Yes, you keep that stick, I'll be back. And there'd be yellow mark here. The next row there'd be purple mark. Next row there'd be green mark. I could see I'd been there already. So I'd go and give the incense, and of course they would be working, but smelling like they'd become attached. So I'd come back, you know, 20 minutes later, and there's the yellow row. And then I would give Bhagavad Gita. Well, actually I'd give a pack of incense, and it'd say it's 5 francs. And then I'd introduce the book. By that time, they were warmed up. So that was really easy way to do books. And when one person bought a book, the whole row. And if one person didn't buy, nobody buy. So you know how it is. These are the science of Sankirtan. So I would come, but I had a sense. You develop this sixth sense on Sankirtan when there's danger or something's going to happen. You're going to get caught. So I'd always disappear before the security guard would come. So I would do this building for months. And I got the nickname, the ghost. Oh, the ghost is here. I think, oh, the ghost is back. Oh, well, okay, I forget it. Because I go back again, because people, they burn the incense in a week, and you could come back with another book, with the Bhagavatam, Rishi Upanishad. I was like, I never told the other devotees, but nobody thought you could get in the building. I would just wait. There's this little garbage can thing, like a dumpster, and I'd hide behind it, and the door would open, and I'd sneak in real fast, the car would come close. So it was like, upstairs, you had to have a card, you know, they'd look at your face, and this, and then begin. So I was going, so I hardly ever, well, I didn't get caught for months. But the word was out, ladies tell me, they want to catch the ghost. But I had a trick, I would do 11th floor, then I'd go down 2nd floor. I'd go up to 5th floor, then back to 9th floor. So it wasn't like a pattern. And I could hear sometimes people running up the stairs. Ghost! It's in French, la fantôme, they'd say. La fantôme. Like the phantom of the opera. I was the fantôme. And during lunch, because they'd all go out to eat lunch, I'd take a subway and I'd go out to the apartments and I'd do apartments. Not to waste any time. I'd eat my lunch in the subway, you know, 30 minutes, and I'd do the housing blocks. I think you also do the housing blocks. I do like that. So, anyway, to make a long story, there are lots of pastimes and stories that happened, but finally, inevitably, you know, there was one lady, she was asking lots of questions, and I was like, so, you know, I just kind of lost my sense all of a sudden on my back. This hand, this guy like a gorilla. And he picked me up by one shoulder. He picked me up like this. The phantom. I felt honored. I started smiling. Oh, I'm the phantom. I'm not the phantom. So he started. He kicked my legs. And then he dragged me by my collar. And it was very embarrassing. Dragging me, cursing the whole way. So someone said something. He stopped for a moment, let me down, and I ran. And I ran for the elevator. I pushed the button. Fortunately, he'd come in the elevator. The elevator was closed, but it was still there. So I ran inside, and the door started to close, and he started running at me. He went... Now, it was pretty shaking because he slapped me hard twice. But I went 6 floors down and continued. And people, it was work because the combination, incense, you know, in those days it was just kind of people, at least in Europe it was a thing starting. And I found people who would want a second book or a third book, and bear in mind there's 15 floors with hundreds of people. So you just, if you did it properly, people welcomed you back. And it was a little exciting for them too. So then I'm there on whatever floor I went down to, all of a sudden I could hear the elevator opens, and there he is. He comes running for me, you know. So then I run, and you know, we're running around the desk, and I make straight for the stairwell. He was a big fat guy. So I was young, I was, whatever, 24, 25. Down to the 3rd floor in 6 seconds. And he's going, boom, 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 boom. So he didn't know which floor I went to. So he, you know, I must have had 45 minutes. I'm distributing. I went up to the 4th floor, thought I lost him. Suddenly he walks up the stairwell into the office with 2 other guys. One guy guards the elevator, one guy guards the stairwell. So he comes like, he grabs me, throws me on the ground, drags me to the elevator. There's 2 guards that they open up, takes it down, they start hitting me like in the kidneys. It really hurts. I'm hitting the kidney. Take me downstairs, kick me, roll me over, slap me. I remember the secretary, the receptionist, the main receptionist for the building, I actually knew her. She felt so sorry for me. because she'd taken a few books like that. So then, you know, he knocks me down on the ground, and I'm lying on the ground. I had a bloody nose, and then he calls the police. And I knew enough French that, you know, he said to the police, he said, "I want the police chief to come down here. I want this boy behind bars. He's been trespassing, disturbing the business." He started saying all these lies, like, "We've lost so many thousands of dollars in workers' time," and it's going on and on. I sounded like, you know, I committed murder 100 times over. So all of a sudden, it sounded like a fire, you know. And 3 paddy wagons come for me. He made such a fuss on the phone. And he stood over me the whole time, this big fat guy straddling me, you know. I had some idea, but anyway. So the paddy wagon comes, 3 of them. And then you could see the chief of police. The French police wore these funny little hats. And the police chief would always have 3 silver like things around, like trails like this around his, stripes around his thing, and a star here. He comes in. He's even bigger than this guy. Sees me. And then they start talking, and the guy wants to kick me again. Yeah, don't kick him. He's, you know, look at you. He's already messed up, you know. We'll take him in. We'll keep him overnight. We'll take him to the, wherever they take you. We'll put him before a court. He'll be 6 months, 1 year for trespassing. He'll be thrown out of the country as a foreigner. It's American. It's American. The French and the Americans, there wasn't much love in those days. So they pick me up like a tiger after a hunt. They pick me up by my feet and they handcuff my feet and handcuff my, like this, and they carry me out like some kind of wild animal. And they're all laughing, you know, and then the guard, he comes, get one big kick in my backside, the security guy. Big guy, boom, that was the one that hurt the most. And then they swing me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10. In the paddy wagon, the security guard's there, watching, you know, the chief. Good. And he slams the door, the police chief gets in, and then he said, "Make sure," I could hear him yelling, "give him at least a year in jail." We're driving away, I'm like, I can't get the handcuffs. We get about half a mile away, and it stops. And I could see through the railings, we were in the countryside. Oh my God. Are they gonna kill me? Are they gonna like beat me up and put me on the side of the road? They stop. I could hear them talking in the front, laughing. You know, and the, you know, police are sometimes corrupt. So I'm thinking, what's gonna happen to me? And my books were scattered all over the back of the van paddy wagon. So they open the door. I hear the walking of shoes, you know, 4 or 5 of them. And then they open. I'm like, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama." Praying to Lord Nrsingadev. And they open up, and the police chief's there with a big smile. I thought, is he a sadistic guy? He's going to enjoy it. He says, "You don't remember me?" In English. "You don't remember me?" I said, "Sir." "Sir, no, sir." No, he said, "You don't look, take a good look." He took his hat off. I said, "Yeah, I've seen you somewhere." He said, "5 days ago, you came to my house at lunchtime." "I'm the police chief. You came to my house with your book, Bhagavad Gita. Remember, I welcomed you, and you asked what I did. I said, I work with the police force. I didn't tell you I was chief of police. I remember we had a long discussion, 2 hours, about your philosophy." I said, "Yeah, that was a great talk." "Is it those little sweet balls you had? Man, those were good. You left 4 of them. My children love them. They wanted me to get some more." He said, "Look, that guy back there is a real nonsense. He's just a real..." I won't say it in French. He said a bad word. He said, "Come on, get out." He said, "I'm really sorry I had to go through this, you know." So then he undid the handcuffs like that, and he kind of massaged me. "It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. The pain goes away a little bit like that." He said, "I really, really appreciate that you took the trouble to come to my house and give me that book. He said, I have learned more from that book in 4 days than I have going to church for 35 years. Not to say that our Christian brothers and sisters don't have a valuable message, but this police chief was special. He was really looking for spiritual knowledge. He'd had some problems in the family. One of his children had died, actually. So he really read that book. So he said, look, I can't take anywhere else, but just to say, if you can walk back to the metro, and back there, it's like a half a kilometer, just walk back, everything's okay. Then he personally got in the paddy wagon, got all my books together, put them in my bag. Then they gave me a big hug. Sent me on the way. So I walked past the big building, and lo and behold, the security guard was outside smoking a cigarette. And I walked by my dhoti, and he saw me, and he went, Hare Krishna! I went like this, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna, Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare! So like that, he just had a little association. And he was ready for it, but he had got Bhagavad Gita and some prasad. And he did a goodwill for a devotee. They could have really done, I mean, I'd been trespassing for months. They had a court, they could have had a good case against me, let me off. And that reminds me one more story, because I know everybody's hungry, but this is also shows the potency of associating with a devotee like Srila Prabhupada. During those years, we would sometimes go to southern France, and there's the Mediterranean Ocean, and France owns one island called Corsica. It's a real wild place in those days. Corsica wanted independence from France. It was a great place to do Sankirtan. People were very frustrated, bombs going off and, you know, fighting. But we would go, and they would never harm us. It was an infeudal thing. So one time, a yoga club asked me to give a lecture. So mostly it was ladies there. And one lady, she said, stop the talk. I was like 10 minutes. She said, stop the talk. I want to go home and get my husband. I said, how far are we down? She said, it's just 2 blocks down. Just, can you stop? So I stopped. And Janet Java, all the people like, we were young. So then she brought her husband back. He just got home from work. He didn't have time to change. He was in full military dress. He was an admiral in the French Navy. It was a very high position, admiral. So he sat in a chair in the back, like I was saying. She sat in front, because he wasn't interested in yoga. But I gave a talk on Bhagavad Gita, the ABCs of Bhagavad Gita. And as I was talking, I could see he was kind of like, so then afterwards they gave me their number, and they said if we ever came back to Corsica we could stay with them, because we were going to go to someplace else. So that night I got a call that Prabhupada had come unexpectedly to Paris, and the temple president Bhagavan Das called and said, you got to come back immediately, Prabhupada's coming to Paris in 2 days time, to come immediately. So I said, okay, I just had this idea, just something in the heart. I called the family up and I said, you know, what I was saying the other night, nothing to do with me. I'm repeating the words of my spiritual master. You have to meet him. So she said, let me ask my husband. So the admiral came on the phone. He said, well, you know, we were just planning to take a vacation. We are going to go to Italy. But if you think it's worth it, we'll accompany you to Paris. So he had a family of 6 children, a big family. So they had this van, nice, really nice car they had. And we had our van, so, you know, we took the barge across the Mediterranean, and they followed us 12 hours to Paris. And when we got there, it was late, so we had an apartment that they stayed in. And the next day, Prabhupada agreed to see the... Prabhupada called us in, and he said, so you have some special guests? And I said, Prabhupada, I have the admiral in the French Navy. He said, he wasn't so impressed. You can call him in. I was thinking, Prabhupada's so great that nothing compares in greatness to him. But he was very humble, but he just needs his own. I was like, Prabhupada, I have an admiral for you. You can bring him. So the admiral came with all his, and he was their proud men, you know, their Kshatriyas. So he came with his. And Prabhupada said, sit. And he wouldn't sit on the floor. So Prabhupada said, so give him chair. And everyone was shocked. Prabhupada said, give him chair. He is military man. Okay. So then Prabhupada, speaking just to that family, went on about an hour. And then at the end, the man was so impressed with Prabhupada. He was so impressed with Prabhupada. He was just, you could see just, there was so much affection there. So then he had said to Prabhupada, so if I want to study that book, I don't have much time, I'm very busy in my duties. He said, how many chapters are there? So Prabhupada, you know, went on to explain that. Prabhupada, he said, just tell me one chapter I can read in order to become God conscious. And Prabhupada said, ninth chapter. If you just read ninth chapter, everything you need to know about Krishna consciousness, everything that is necessary to become lover of God, he said, lover of God, just read ninth chapter. I'm thinking, can I have such a simple instruction? So then the man, they left. And oh, then Prabhupada gave him a Gita. Gave him a Gita, and then you get to the man took it like his wife wanted it, like that. And then they left. And that was it. I was a young man, I was busy in Sankirtan, I never thought to call. This is the old days, you know, just kids, you know. Four or five years later, well after Prabhupada had departed the planet, there was a big parade on Champs-Élysées, which you've seen the pictures of France, the Arc de Triomphe, and the Champs-Élysées is like the pride and joy of France. You know, the best shops are there, and everything, the best of the best. It's very beautiful. The buildings, you know, survived World War II. Just gorgeous and prestigious place. They're having a parade, and part of the parade was a military parade. So I came early because I wanted to distribute books to all the important people. But nobody was taking because they were too important. And, you know, it was really hard. And there were lots of barriers and gates and ropes. You know, you couldn't hardly even get close. And then I saw this big group of military officers getting ready to walk in the parade. And I'm thinking, that looks really good. I wish I could go there. And suddenly I see the admiral. I recognized him. He was a tall man, quite handsome, and I saw him, and I screamed, Admiral! Hare Krishna! Like that was like the worst thing to say, Hare Krishna. And everybody, all the police, you know. And the admiral saw me, and this just smile came over his face. He said, I'm coming! And people were shocked. Here's this Hare Krishna cult member, because in those days we perceived a cult, you know, here to sell books. And he walked, you know, and he walked, you know, in a stately way. He walked over to where I was, and so many people were watching. And I was like, Hare Krishna, Admiral. He said, I don't have much time. He said, this is a very important function. He said, how are you doing? He said, we're missing you. You didn't come back to our island for some time. And so he said, how are you? I said, oh, I'm fine, Admiral. He said, you're still here in Paris? I said, yes, I'm still. You know, small talk like that. And then somebody said, oh! So he had to go. He took my arm. He said, one thing before I go. He said, how's your spiritual master? Like that. And I couldn't reply because, you know, Prabhupada had left. And I didn't want to. So he said, how's your spirit? He said, you know, he is the most important person I ever met in my life. I said, really? He said, there was just something about him. Those are the two sentences I remember right there. He's the most important person I met in my life. There was just something about him. And I said, yeah, and remember he gave you the Gita? He said, I'm following his instructions. He told me to read the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. He said, every day since that time I met your teacher, I've read the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Every day I read it. I said, you must know it backwards and forwards. He said, oh yes. He said, your teacher promised me that if I read that chapter every day, I would someday know God. I was like, wow. Talk about following the instructions of the spiritual master. So then some other officers came because he wasn't going. He said, before I go, he said, how is your master? He said, I'm just hoping one day to meet him again. And I said to him, I said, I'm sorry to tell you my master has passed from this world. And immediately his eyes filled with tears. There was a syringe or something, and his eyes filled with tears. And he blushed. And he couldn't say anything. He stood there for a while. It wasn't looking at me, it was kind of looking away. And then they called his name, and he just looked at me and tried to smile, and he walked away. Every day he read 9th chapter. That's, you know, takes some time to read that. He followed Prabhupada's instructions. And I was thinking that although he was a karmi, he was a military man, he's probably a meat eater, whatever, tears welled in his eyes upon remembering a pure devotee of the Lord. How much advancement is that? That when he thought of a pure devotee, he thought of Prabhupada, it caused an emotion in his heart of affection and fondness. So I was convinced, can you hand me that water? I was convinced that that instruction Prabhupada gave him was working. And he was on the path back home, back to Godhead, and one day he would achieve that. That love of God. So that was what? 45 minutes association. But he followed the instruction. So on Father's Day, we have our dependents, our little world, our little congregation of devotees. And if we ourselves as fathers become, practice Krishna consciousness, become Krishna conscious, then truly we can deliver our children from the repetition of birth and death. And what better gift could you give your children? Hare Krishna, thank you so much.